You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. The Treasure Valley is a popular place to live these days, and more people are moving here. And those folks need schools and sewers, highways and fire departments, just to name a few. And that costs more money, money that comes from property taxes, which are on the rise in a lot of parts of the Treasure Valley. Now, those people also need somewhere to live, and that's been driving up housing prices. This is a perfect storm. That means many cannot afford to buy a home, and some homeowners can't afford their rising property taxes. On Idaho Matters, we are spending the next week exploring some of these themes in a series we're calling Growing Pains. And today, we are going to take a deep dive into property taxes, which is not an easy subject, as our producer, Samantha Wright, found out.
Property taxes are hard to figure out.
Oh, is it ever? It's become much, much more complicated, and it's not as easy to understand as it was 40 years ago. Of course, I guess that's just about anything. It's become more complex, you know, through time.
Okay, Ada County Assessor Bob McQuaid, why are they so hard?
There's a lot going on.
Let's start with the basics, taxes. The taxes you pay are made up of the budget needs of five units of government: county, city, schools, highway districts, and all the others. Think mosquito abatement, cemetery and sewer districts, libraries, fire districts, community colleges. I'm going to stop listing things now because I'm getting tired, but there's a lot of them, and there are even more taxing code areas.
Statewide, there's well over 3,000 of these unique areas, all of which will have different tax rates.
Hold on, Alan Dornfest, Property Tax Policy Bureau Chief at the Idaho State Tax Commission. We'll come back to you in a minute to explain just what that means. So all the districts where you live make up the property tax budget, and you have to pay your share of that total tax bill to all those entities. And that's based on the assessed value of your home. Sounds easy, right? Well, there are a few other things that affect that assessed value and your property taxes each year, like districts raising taxes, urban renewal districts adding or subtracting school bonds or levies, the homeowner's exemption, the circuit breaker, more on those later, lower interest rates, growth. Again, I'm stopping, but you get the idea. Just to make things a little simpler, I'm leaving out things like commercial property, agriculture, depreciation, rail cars, timber, and sticking mostly with primary residential property. And that's code for the home you own and live in. So wait a minute, go back. Growth? How does growth, like all the growth in the Treasure Valley, affect my property taxes? Well, more growth means cities and counties and roads need to add more services. And growth is very likely increasing your property's value. Every 5 years, an appraiser from your county assessor's office does a deep dive or a reappraisal on 20% of properties to figure out what a typical buyer would pay for your house.
It depends on so many things: construction quality, location, land value, condition.
Aaron Brady is the appraisal division supervisor at the Ada County Assessor's Office. She looks at pictures of your house and can go curbside to see if you've made improvements or check the physical condition. Then she adds in two very big factors. The first is location, location, location.
The North End is a really good example of that. That's a very desirable location. Sales in that area obviously show that. You could find the same or a physically comparable property in terms of age and condition and construction type in downtown Kuna or downtown Meridian or downtown Star, and it's not going to have the same type of value.
The other big factor for reappraisal, and the one used to determine your home value the other 4 years, is market data. That's code for how much your neighbor sold his or her home for. Generally speaking, the higher the sale prices in your area, the higher your assessed value. That's not always true, but work with me here. And over the past few years, growth in the Treasure Valley has pushed those values higher and higher for a lot of reasons. Here's two.
Something else that's really fueling this is we have a lot of people moving in from the West Coast. They're cashing out on the home that they had before, and they're coming to Boise. or the Treasure Valley, Ada County, Napa and Caldwell, and they're paying cash for homes.
And just the record low inventory, those two forces together are really driving things up.
The Boise Regional Realtors confirmed that low inventory, reporting there were only 239 existing homes for sale in Ada County at the end of August. That's a record low, and it's a drop of 72% compared to August of last year. And it reports the median sales price for all homes sold in Ada County hit a record high of $400,000 last month. All these factors are helping to increase your home's assessed value and likely hiking your property taxes as well.
That's our producer, Samantha Wright. Let's take a deeper dive at what she just outlined with Margaret Carmel, a journalist with BoiseDev.com, and Alan Dornfest, Property Tax Policy Bureau Chief at the Idaho State Tax Commission. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
So, Alan, let's start with you. You told Samantha in that interview that there are more than 3,000 tax code areas and 1,000 taxing districts in Idaho. So let's start with the taxing districts. Those are cities and counties and schools, correct?
They're those three, plus their special purpose taxing districts. Samantha mentioned several of them earlier. They include things like fire protection districts, community college districts, sewer and water districts, cemetery maintenance districts, and the like. There's about 26 or 27 different types of taxing districts. Now, to put that in perspective, 90% of the total tax is levied by the big, what I call the big four: cities, counties, highway districts, and school districts.
Okay, so you actually created a hypothetical county, and we'll put that up on our website at BoiseStatePublicRadio.org so folks can look at it. But can we talk about that, and can you use it to explain what taxing code areas are?
Yes. So I'm not seeing it, but I can sort of do it from memory.
Okay.
So let's just take a simple example. Boise City is split, in a sense, into two school districts.
Mm-hmm.
I live in East Boise, and I'm in the Boise School District, okay? That's a separate taxing district. People who live in West Boise are usually often in the West Ada School District, okay?
Okay.
And that's a different school district. So those two districts set their amounts that they want as budget items, go out to the voters for different voter-approved levies and so forth, independently from each other. And that results in two different levy rates. So on its simplest level, everybody in the city of Boise pays one rate for the city of Boise. Well, we're all in Ada County, so we pay one rate for Ada County as well as an add-on rate, but we might pay one of two rates for schools, either
okay.
the West Ada or the Boise rate. So that by itself, in the simplest manner, separates Boise into at least two tax code areas. Now, there happen to be hundreds in Boise because we have sewer and water districts and cemetery districts and other things that overlap. So it's more complex than that.
So if I'm understanding this right, Alan, for example, I live in the East End as well. So what would show up, let's say on my property tax and these districts would be quite different potentially than someone, let's say, who lives in CUNA, even though we both live in Ada County.
Absolutely. So CUNA is a different city. It's subject to its own setting, its own budget. There's a different school district, not even West Ada. It's the CUNA school district that's out there. I'm not sure if they have a fire department like Boise does, or have a rural fire district that happens to overlap into the city. We have both models around the state, and I'd have to look into the detail to mm-hmm. see which it was. That's going to mean that the people there, while they pay the same county tax, you know, mm-hmm. they don't pay the same city tax, they don't pay the same school tax, they may pay a fire district tax and so forth. So it's going to definitely be a separate tax code area. Again, these overlaps relate to the geography. Each of these taxing districts established their own geography or had it established through, you know, some as far back as statehood and some predating statehood. At any rate, but they overlap in different ways. So as a result, then we get all of the 1,000 taxing districts create more than 1,000 unique areas when we add up all of the tax rates. And that's what we call our tax code area system.
So it would be fair to say that all of my districts, right, where I live and their changing needs would then affect my property taxes.
Yes, they would affect your property taxes as well as, but remember that your districts are only one side. So your districts create a budget, and that's the numerator in our property tax equation of calculating a rate. You have to come out with a rate to apply to your property's value before you can know your property taxes. Mm. The denominator in the rate, what you divide by, is the value of all the property that's subject to tax, including, in most cases, as was said a minute ago, even rail cars. So it's a much more complex scenario. And let me just say this. The amount by which an individual's taxes grow from year to year is A, not limited, but B, really related to that individual is one tiny slice of a pie, an overall pie being the amount of budget that the taxing district, the city, or whoever needs, okay? And if that slice of pie grows because the value on that property grows faster than the value of other properties in that district, then the taxes go up for that slice, for that particular property, okay? Mm-hmm. If all property increases at the same rate, like let's say all property values double throughout the county, basically nobody's taxes would increase or increase only at the margin, a tiny little bit. And that's an important distinction. You have to think of it as a zero-sum game. Value increases themselves do not lend themselves to more tax, but they might for you if that value increase increases your amount of the pie, the slice of the pie size.
So, Margaret, I want to bring you into the conversation because you've done some great reporting on property taxes and what's been, you know, pushing them up. So let's look at just one of those districts, the city of Boise. Can you take us back? I mean, 16 years ago when former Mayor Dave Beter took office.
Right. So 16 years ago, former Mayor Beter was, took control of the city. And throughout every year for his term, the city of Boise increased property taxes, the maximum 3% they were allowed, as well as taking additional tax increases for new construction. Now, one thing I do want to say is that whenever you look at your tax bill, the majority of the increase you're going to get every year is going to come not from what the city is doing, but from your increased VAT assessment, especially in these last couple of years as values are like going up double digits, especially in places like the Boise Bench. But whenever you look at, okay, well, you know, if the city takes 3%, it's only an additional $40 a year. But if you do that every year for 16 years, there is an impact there. And that's not to say that the city's policies were totally the reason for this increase, because you're also seeing tax increase, you're also going to pay taxes on the school district, you're also going to pay taxes on all these other things, but it does have an impact on affordability for folks, especially people on fixed incomes who are homeowners. And that became a big topic during the 2019 mayoral election. Right.
Well, and so it's interesting, Margaret, because when you say, like, let's say, you know, it just goes up $40, right, every year, but that's 16 years, that's $640. And that's just that 3% increase. It's not everything else. But do we know why the city council did not consider taking the full 3%, or did they when former Mayor Beter was in office?
So I can only speak to the fiscal year 2019 and fiscal year 2020 budget processes, because that's when I was working. Mm-hmm. But you know what I saw was the city council starting with the assumption that they would take the 3%. You know, there really wasn't too much of a discussion of should we take the 3%, maybe not, you know, at length. I know City Council Member Holly Wooding said that she brought it up one time. I don't recall that, you know, but it wouldn't surprise me. You know, my point is this was not a conversation they had that I observed. And I think it was because, you know, Mayor Beter was really, when he was mayor, he was trying to guide the city to do new projects, add new parks, new programming, build chronically homeless, housing for the chronically homeless, increase the living wage for certain employees, hiring new employees to do new projects, investing more in public transportation, and saving for the main library project, which, you know, is on pause. So mm-hmm. I think his view was, okay, yeah, we're going to take this taxes and we're going to take that 3%, but the projects he wanted to accomplish for the city, in his mind, you know, kind of outweighed. He was looking to grow what the city was offering to citizens. And in order to do that, you need to increase taxes.
We need to take a quick break. Margaret and Alan will stay with us. And when we come back, we'll look at how tough those property taxes have been recently. Support for our Growing Pains series of conversations comes from Boise State Public Radio Broadcast Society members Jennifer Dickey and Andy Wong. This is Idaho Matters.